right. Now, Brother Children's Church. Yeah. All right. We got them pumped up for you, brother. That's right. Very good. Outstanding. All right. Y'all have fun. Okay. Well, it's kind of that, I think you got them all, man. It's kind of that, you remember that? Remember when that hell storm came through? Remember that? And the hell was just beating the ceiling of this place. And I was sitting in that chair right there thinking, Lord, is it going to come through on us? I mean, it sounded like somebody with a sledgehammer up there just busting that roof. I kind of feel that way about the flood, don't you? I'm here, amen? I live to tell about it. One more time. I saw Vince Kimball's video posts on Facebook, on my wife's Facebook page. One of them is an aerial shot. Somebody has a drone over here by the pawn shop just across the street from the college. And the drone takes off. I don't know how high it goes, 100 feet, 50 feet. And then it comes towards the church here on 249. I've never seen so much water in my life. Never seen, incredible, incredible. I'm thinking, I drive down that road. Where did it go? It's gone. The road's gone. It's amazing. Well, we're here. Praise the Lord for that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to begin reading here in verse 35. I almost changed it to the flood in Genesis, but I've already preached that passage over a year ago, and I didn't do it, so we're just going to keep on plugging along in Mark. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. And let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. T-Rev, can you catch these, buddy? There you go. Thank you, son. All right, Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, and we'll take it through verse 41, and then we will commence to getting after it today. If you found that this morning, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads this. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for bringing us through another flood, bringing us through another deluge, Lord, and just the craziness of it and just the uncertainty of it. But Lord, the peace that we find in the midst of the storms, the comfort that you bring, how you bring us through, how you hold us together, how you help us, as Jose sang about, just keep on, keep on, and keep on. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for loving us. We pray if there's anyone here this morning that needs to receive you as their personal Savior and Lord, oh, just, Lord, more than just a head knowledge about you, but a relationship with you, Lord, if there's somebody that needs to enter into that kind of relationship, Lord, may this be the hour of their salvation. May they surrender. May they bow. May they welcome you into their heart and into their life. May we quit the pretentious act that we have it all together and we don't need you. Lord, may we break. May we come running. May we partake of who you are. It's in your name we pray and God's people said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. And as always, may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Well, I can say this, I think the drought's over. Amen? I think that one's done. The drought is finished. It's through. What a contrast. You think about several years ago, all the dead, dying trees around. I mean, it's just crazy. Couldn't get the grass growing. Just an incredible contrast from that to now. I mean, it's feast or famine, but wow, what a contrast. No water to... Where do we put all the water? It's just this incredible contrast. When we look at the Gospel of Mark, Mark has a way of giving his audience, and consequently, 2,000 plus years later, giving us some striking contrast. If you'll remember about the chapters we've come through, the passages that we've come through to get here, you'll remember back in chapter 3 that after the violent confrontation with those Pharisees, those scribes, those religious leaders which produced a plot against Jesus' life, you'll remember that Mark slowed down, didn't he? After that confrontation, he slowed down. And he took us through all of this teaching of Christ. And I mean, Jesus broke it down. He got it simplified. I mean, he made it so that everybody could understand. Great explanation of the truth, the teaching of Jesus. But as he continues on in his gospel, he's keeping his Roman readers in mind. And he doesn't want them to think that Jesus is limited to teaching. Rather, he wants to get back to Jesus' action. And Mark shows the Christ in conflict again. Now he's in conflict, this time with the forces that are most formidable of all. We've got wild nature that we're covering this morning, or we begin to cover. And then we're going to move on from that into chapter 5. We're going to talk about those demons. Oh, the rampant demons. And then after that, as we continue on into chapter 5, we're going to see the incurable diseases. And not just the incurable diseases, but we'll find some certain death. And Jesus has authority, has control. He handles all of it. Amen? That's what's coming. In our present passage this morning, in verses 35 through 41, Jesus will reveal one more time. He will reveal one more time that He is the conquering, He is the conquering servant king, the Christ, the Son of God. One more time. That's what this passage is about. As we look at this passage, it's a challenging setting, isn't it? This challenging setting serves as a backdrop for the test of Jesus' authority over the forces of nature. He has just completed a full day of teaching. He's taught and taught until he can't teach no more. Some of you teachers can appreciate that. You've taught and you've taught until you can't teach anymore. And by the way, it's too flooded. The buses can't run and the parents can't get them. And so you get to keep them one more night. Amen? And so those Tomball teachers got to, well, some of them, not all of them. Can you imagine your principal coming up to you and going, by the way, you're the new teacher, and we really would love to give you a contract for next year. But I just, you know, we need you to stay tonight. Can you stay tonight? Well, how late, principal? Till tomorrow morning. But I didn't bring any clothes. That's okay. I don't have a toothbrush. I've got mints. Well, principal, where are you going to be? Well, I'm going to be home in my bed, but you're going to be here, right? Wow. He taught and taught until he could not teach any longer. Jesus was tired. We're not the glorified Christ yet. Jesus hasn't been crucified, buried, and resurrected. Jesus is in a body like mine and yours. It's a frail body. It's a body that gets tired. And during that teaching, Jesus was sensitive to every learning need. He was careful to explain every detail. He was patient with every question, and now he's weary. And now Jesus is tired. And now Jesus, his physical part of him, feels empty. So what does Jesus need to do? Jesus needs to rest his humanity. Jesus needs to rest his body. Which means he needs to get away from the crowd. He needs to get away from all of those folks pressing in on him. He needs to have some solitude for his soul. So he asks for the boat. They bring the boat. They call it a ship. It's really a boat. They bring the boat. that he's been in this boat, he's been teaching from this boat, he's been preaching from this boat. Well, let's take the boat, let's go to the other side. He proposes to his disciples, let's sail on over to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. Let's take some refuge from the masses. We'll have Mount Hermon in the background. It'll be gorgeous. Let's just go. And so they go. Mark even includes the fact that Jesus is given the honored place in the stern of the boat with a pillow upon which to rest. Once out to sea, however, the scene turns ominous. Nothing like being on the water and things not going as planned. If you've ever been on the water and things haven't gone as planned, you know what I'm talking about. It's, what do you do now? You're on the water, right? And they don't have the luxury of generators and backup batteries and, well, you know, pull out the other lamp. Well, you know, we just lit the last lamp and the wind and the rain blew it out. I mean, it's dark except for the lightning crashing. They're out here on the water at night in a storm. Nature turns loose all of the forces of violence with a storm that not even the seasoned fishermen of Simon, James, and John have seen. These guys are from Bethsaida. They're seasoned fishermen. They've been out here in the storms before, but they've never seen a storm like this. And what really blows their mind is that Jesus is in the stern on a pillow. He's asleep through it all. A life-threatening storm. The passage says the boat's filling up. She's full. My question is this. Is the reason of Jesus' sleeping, is it because he's exhausted? Is it because he has peace? Or perhaps is it the fact that Jesus made the night, that Jesus made the wind, and Jesus made the waves in the first place? That's my question. What's the deal? In panic, I would be the guy panicking. Maybe you would be the more calm approach. Well, you know, let's just kind of see how this plays out. I would be the guy panicking, you know, 1 foot on the boat and going around like this. Woo, 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 woo. That would be me. The boat's filling up. The master's asleep. I would be that guy spinning around like a top, right? These guys begin to panic. The sailors cry out in verse 38, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish?" We know today Jesus cares for us, don't we? Amen? These guys are still learning that lesson. But I would hope each and every one of us knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ, He cares for us. Amen? I'm just going to share with you, this is a two-part message. I couldn't get it all in, but I wanted to share with you 2 points about this passage today. And it may leave you kind of hanging. And, you know, my advice to you would be, come back next week and we'll finish it up. Amen? Well, point number one is simply this, if you're taking notes. The journey of the boat is a picture of the journey of life. Isn't it? The journey of the boat is, it's so plain. It's so simple. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Here in Mark, we have the picture. We have the picture of your life and my life as we journey through the storms and the stresses of life. As we get from one side to the other side. See, we all began somewhere. That's one side. And we're all going to the other side. Amen? That's with Christ one day, the other side. And as we think about verse 35, it takes on added meaning for this part of the county, doesn't it? Let us get on over, pass on over to the other side. I think it was Friday night. We were down in the living room downstairs, and Stephanie either had it on her phone or it was on the TV, and I was on the laptop. With Lillian with the tonsillitis and the tonsillectomy getting up a couple times a night, the days are running together. This is Sunday, right? I'm not dreaming. We are in church right now. Okay, very good. All right, so, I mean, I'm just kind of losing track, but I think it was Friday. Stephanie goes, there's an airboat on the Spring Creek Bridge. I'm like, what? Sure enough, I look at it, and here comes an airboat coming from Decker Prairie to Lone Star on the Spring Creek Bridge. Wow. And it takes on a new meaning. Let us pass over onto the other side. But the point is this. If you and I will just get Jesus on board, if you will just invite Him into your life, not only as your Savior, but your Lord. If you'll let Him be your Lord, then His presence with you, His presence with us will make all the difference in the world. Won't it, church? It'll make all the difference in the world. See, when Jesus is on board, we have a sense of direction. Let us pass on over to the other side. We've got a sense of what's going on, of where we're heading. Let us pass on over to the other side. Amen? When Jesus is on board. And so the question is Jesus the Lord of your life? Is He the Lord of your life? Well, you know, He's my Savior. I've prayed to receive Him as my personal Savior. He saved me, man. I know that date. I know that time. I know that place. Vacation Bible School or youth camp or it was right here in the sanctuary or it was right outside. But is He your Lord? Is He your Lord and Savior, right? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? You say, well, how can I know if He's the Lord of my life? Well, let me ask you some questions. Let me just put it to you like this. What do you think about the things of Jesus? Jesus possesses some things. He's in relationship with some things. Jesus is some things. Amen? What do you think about Jesus' things? What do you think about His bride? What do you mean His bride? Well, His church. What do you think about the folks you're sitting with right now? What do you think about His bride, the church? Do you have positive feelings and thoughts about His bride? Or do you have negative thoughts and feelings about His bride? What do you think about His word? What do you mean? Well, I mean the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. Amen? John chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. What do you think about His... Well, you know, I don't spend much time in the Word. Well, then, is He really the Lord of your life if you don't think highly of His word? I'm just putting it out there to you this morning. Amen? What about His plan? What plan, Pat? Jesus' plan to spend eternity with you. That's His plan. Wow. Died on the cross. Shed His blood to cover your sin. What do you think about the things of Jesus? If you think highly about the things of Jesus Christ, then you will be available to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Bible study will not be a chore to you, either individually or corporate. I want to tell you, coming to church on a regular basis will not be a chore to you. An attitude of gratitude will mark your life. Giving a tithe back to God will not be a chore to you, man. Karen Tate came into the sanctuary this morning and knocked on my door. She came in. We had lovely chat, conversation. She said, by the way, Pastor, here is Mary and Larry Haygood's tithes and offerings for the last several, I don't know. There was a stack of envelopes in a Ziploc bag. She said both of them had fallen. And they're all stove up, banged up. They can't come to church. But they want to make sure the church got their tithe. That's some lordship going on. Amen? That's what that's about. If you think highly of the things of God, let me tell you something. You won't just come, but you will want to serve here. Amen? Oh, now that three people believe that. You'll want to serve here. You'll want to serve outside the four walls. You'll want to serve God, period. Amen? If He's the Lord of your life. Right? Can't we talk about the flood some more? No, we've got to talk about lordship right now. Right? Let me ask you this question. Have you invited Him to set the course of your life? He's not going to force the course of your life. You've got to surrender that to Him. You've got to submit that to Him. See, a lot of folks don't know where they're going. Well, you mean heaven or hell? you could say it like that, but if you interviewed the average person today and said, where are you going? What is your purpose? What is your meaning in life? He or she would probably not be able to tell you. Now, she might say this. She'd say, I'm going to go to work on Monday morning. Or he might say this. I'm going to the mountains, or going to the coast, or going to the vacation house. They may have that temporal sense, the temporal sense of direction, but most people have no overall guiding purpose in their lives. Oh, their purpose, they think, is to make money, to pay bills, to make money, to buy things, to impress people that they don't like or like them. They think their purpose in life is to experience leisure. It's all about fun. It's all about the big H word, happy. Happy. We have a neighbor by that name, don't we? Is his name Happy? Yeah, Happy. Amen. I think the key is peace, peace, and peace. Amen, church? Contentment, contentment, contentment. Right? What a terrible thing to be adrift on life's sea and not know why you are here. Why you're here. What the meaning of life really is. I think we can all, you know, if we have any age to us, you know, there's some young folks here, of course, today, but I think it those of us that have lived and seen some water go under the bridge, I think we can all appreciate that there are three great questions in life. And we've, if we have any age on us at all, we've probably pondered these. Who am I? Who in the world am I? Where did I come from? Yeah, I know my mom and dad, but where? I know that, yeah, my grandparents. I've been on Ancestry.com, but where really did I come from? Right? Who am I? Where did I come from? And where in the world am I going? Right? Well, the where you're going is answered in this passage. Jesus said, let's get on over to the other side. Jesus' words here in this passage gave a destination. When Jesus comes into your life, He comes in not only as your Savior, but He also comes in as your security. Now, the disciples, let's be honest, let's be fair, let's just say it like Mark says it. These disciples here, these apostles, these hand-picked guys that Jesus picks, these blue-collar, sweaty, half of them fishermen, stinky guys, they're still doing what? They're still learning that Jesus is their security. I think for a lot of us, we're probably still learning that too. So we can't sit here in pride and arrogance and say, why can't they get it? I don't think many of us get it, amen? But when Jesus comes into your life, He comes in not only as your Savior, but He comes in as your security. The presence of Jesus is a guarantee that one of these days, your life ship is going to land safely, friend. It's going to land safely over on the shore of glory. And you know, that's really the only security in life. I know, many of us here have a license to carry. I'm not carrying mine today. Hopefully some of you are carrying yours. I like to tell people we have one of the safest churches in the county. Right? But friend, you can have retirement accounts. You can have your nest egg. You can have a second house. You can have acreage. Oh man, what else can you have? You can have all the things that people consider security. That people consider security in this world. You can have that safe tucked away in the back part of your house where you think nobody can find it, loaded with rifle upon rifle, AR upon AR, 1,000 rounds upon 1,000 rounds, 7.62 by 3.9, 9mm, 45. You can have all that tucked away in your different places, but you really, the only security is what? The only security is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only security. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 reads this. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen, church? I have thought about Noah a lot the last couple of days. Have you often thought about the ark? Am I the only one? Maybe I'm the only one. I am a little different, strange, but the ark, unpowered, you know, just kind of the hand of God, Spirit of God moving it around, right? No rudder, you know, no propulsion, just the water moving it around. Going places a boat like that's never gone before, right? I've often thought about Noah these last couple of days, how the ride was in the ark. How do you think that went? Do you think as the waves are coming, the tide is beginning to work, the water is flowing and coming in and out and rushing in, you know, where it's never been before, and it's lifting this ark. Do you think maybe Noah fell down a couple times? Maybe skin a knee or an elbow? That had to have been a little jostling, huh? Right? Here are the animals in there and all of the stuff that the animals do, you know, sliding from side to side. That had to have been interesting, huh? Maybe I'm the only one that thinks like, what about maybe another family member getting seasick for the first time in their life? You know, the smells of the ship, not being able to look outside at the horizon. Wow. And no running water or toilet that we know of. It's just kind of there, the seasickness. Or perhaps maybe the other family member that really just freaks out over all that gopher wood. I think I'm going to get on Amazon this afternoon and see if there's a sale on gopher wood. I'm going to be ready next time the flood comes. Amen? Just make me a mini ark. But the gopher wood, as it's all put together, that thing rises in the water, wooden boat, the creaking and the popping, is it going to hold together? Is God really going to protect us? The snapping and the twisting of the wood that makes up the boat, as the wood seasons in, as it swells up from the water. But it really doesn't matter, does it? If Noah fell or his wife upchucked 40 times or one of his daughters or sons freaked out over the creaking of the wood. It really doesn't matter, does it? Because at the end of the day, nobody fell out of the ark, did they? Nobody. See, Jesus is not only our Savior. Jesus is our security. Jesus is our anchor. He's our security. He's our guarantee. Praise God, praise God. As we end it with this second point this morning, the journey of the boat is a picture of the journey of life, but secondly this morning, the journey of life produces anxieties, produces fears, if you will, as I go through the storms of life. Anxieties, fears, if you will, as I go through the storms of life. Maybe you're here today and you're saved and you're in your word and you're praying like you should and you come to church often. Maybe you don't get afraid much. Praise God for you. We need some people like that in the church. But I'll be honest with you. This life scares me to death sometimes. I mean, it really shakes me to my core. What do you do with that? I hand it on off to Jesus, amen? I'm foolish if I try to hold on to that. But I do go through it. I do go through fears and anxieties as I go through the storms of life. And the question is, are you in a storm? You in a storm today? And I know, 2 days ago we were all in a storm, right? Yeah, I get that. Okay. But are you in a storm today? Like maybe a relational storm. Perhaps a storm at the job. Maybe a storm with one of your kids. Those are tough storms, aren't they? Maybe it's a financial storm. A health storm with your health. An emotional storm, a spiritual storm. A few things about storms before we close, and we're just kind of be left hanging here, but we're just going to have to come back for next week. First thing I want you to get about storms in life, and if you have any time on you, you know what I'm talking about, but storms come up suddenly, don't they? Usually not a big warning that a storm is coming. Friday, little Cheetah Rita Johnson, that's what I call her. She's the gal I watch on KHOU every morning when I'm drinking my coffee, and the Darby Douglas, the traffic guy, and Cheetah Johnson, the weather gal, and Ron Trevino, and whoever else, I can't remember. She goes Friday morning, there's a little energy coming out of Dallas. It might develop into something. Probably not, but it could develop. You know, we're giving it a 30% chance of developing into. I'm on the side of my house getting the last part of the trenching done so that my backyard will drain. I'm in a valley between my two neighbors. Love my neighbors. Envious of their height of their foundation, though. One neighbor, his foundation is 6 inches higher than my foundation. I look at his foundation, I'm like, wow, that's an awesome foundation. The other neighbor, he's about 3.5 inches higher than my foundation. My little old house just sits right in the middle of between them. And then the blessed builder, whoever put the house in, thought, well, let's just drain the water to the house. That'll help the resale value. So as we've dug out a foot of dirt, a foot, 12 inches, to get a proper fall away from the house, and then come along one side to drain it off. I'm on my little gardening pad. I've got a rain coat on, and I'm digging out the last 3 or 4 feet so that the water will flow out of the backyard. And the lightning is cracking all around. I got to be honest with you. Lord, carest thou not that I perish? I'm thinking, praise the Lord, my wife's not here. She would be beating me over the head with a broom. Get in the house, you crazy! Don't you know it's lightning out here? Wow. They come up suddenly, don't they? It was common on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long by about 7.5 miles wide, guys. That's about half the size, acreage-wise, water acres, about half the size of Sam Rayburn. Any of you know Sam Rayburn? A few of you? It's about half the, they call it a sea, but it's really a small lake or a medium-sized lake. This sea sits 680 feet below the Mediterranean. So if you're thinking about the Mediterranean here, the top of the Mediterranean or level, water level at the Mediterranean, you think about the Sea of Galilee, it's way down here, 680 feet. I mean, it's in a ravine, the Sea of Galilee. It's surrounded by hills, and on the east side it has Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is 9,200 feet high. It's a big old tall mountain from the bottom of the Sea of Galilee all the way to the top, 9,200 feet high. Well, what often happens is that the cold, dense air from Mount Hermon comes falling down because it's heavier, it's denser, and it collides with the warm, moist air over the Sea of Galilee. We all know how this happens. And these huge thunderstorms, these huge thunderheads just balloon up, and you're out there, you're working your fish, you're putting out your nets, you're pulling them up, you're harvesting your fish, and all of a sudden you look at your buddy and you're saying, I don't smell fish anymore. It's not stanky. What's going on? And you look back behind you, and here comes the storm. It's blowing all of your fish stinky away. And you turn around, and here comes the waves, and here comes the lightning, and here comes the rain. And that was common. Commonplace, right? I mean, your day was perfectly calm one moment, and then the next moment, Katie barred the door. Please help. Please help. We can't call the Coast Guard because there was no Coast Guard there in the first century. Help us. But that's the way life is, isn't it? Suddenly, without warning, things will be just calm, things will be just fine. Then all of a sudden you're in an emergency right in the midst of a storm. It's a 24-hour cycle. 24-hour cycle. Isn't it? A 24-hour cycle. This is how it works. We never know what a 24-hour day is going to bring. We think we know, but we never really know. Just one phone call, one text, one phone call. This is how it goes. That loved one has passed away. 24 hours. 24, they were here, gone. Just one doctor's visit. You're not going to make it till Christmas. That's sobering news, isn't it? What a storm. Just one trip to the boss's office. You know, we've got to make some cutbacks. We're going to have to let you go. What do we do with that? What do we do? I think I know. His name is Jesus. I'll give it to the disciples for this. They at least knew who to go to. Amen? Even though they hadn't quite figured it out, even though they were a little weak in their faith, they at least knew the guy in the back of the boat was the guy to talk to. When we're in the midst of being squeezed, when we're in the midst of in pain, when we're in the midst of uncertainty, when we're in the midst of crying, when we're in the midst of how can this get any worse, when we're in the midst of what to do next, when we're in the midst of I think we're going down, when we're in the midst, I don't know, when we're in the midst of that, I think we turn to Christ. Amen? And I think we can cry to Him. And I think we can plead to Him. And I think we can say to Him, carest thou not that we perish? Because I know what He's going to say. I care. I love. I'm holding you. You're in my grip. I'm not going to let you go. Yes, I care. Amen? It begins like this, and you know how it begins. You know how it begins. It begins with you receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It begins with you surrendering your life to His life. It begins by you letting go of your self-will for His perfect will. It begins by you getting saved. Amen? So if you've not done that, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to enter into what's called an invitation time. The altars will be open. I will be down front. You can come and pray here. You can come and cry out to God here. You can come leave some junk here. You can come pick up a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit here. You can come get right here. Amen? You can do it in your pew. You can come right here. But if you need Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've just been running and living and it's just not making any sense and you just can't get from point, you can't get over to the other side, you don't know what's keeping you, come receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Oh, but I know, Jesus, you may know some things about Christ if you've come to this church, if you've been to Bible study here, if you've attended other churches, you may know some things about Christ, but do you know Christ? Does He know you? The way He wants to know you. Let Him in today. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to sing to You and praise Your name, celebrate who You are together. Lord, as we close this time of corporate worship out, Lord, there may be one or two or a handful among us that need to receive You today as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, it is our desire, it is our prayer. We're in agreement with You, Lord, that we don't want to see anybody leave here today lost. We want everyone to come to a saving knowledge of who you are. And Lord, let them know that this is a safe place. This is a loving place. This is an anxious place to see someone saved today. Lord, the invitation continues on after the service is over, and the invitation is a 24/7 invitation, Lord. But if you're moving in a heart right now, today, right now, this moment, Lord, let them surrender. We're not talking about a commitment. We're talking about a surrender. Let them surrender to you today. Lord, we pray that you continue to convict and draw and nudge and urge folks that need to make that decision. In this church and other churches, Lord, thank you for drawing folks and putting that conviction on them that they need you. That they need you. And Lord, may we continue to have arms wide open for them as we receive them in your name. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity again. Be with us now in this time of invitation. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, let's all stand as Brother Jeremiah leads us, Miss Karen plays.